You are now tuned in from the Desk of Low, brought to you by from the That Feeling Podcast Network. If you have a dream, go get it. Welcome back from the Desk of Low. I have someone very special to Detroit. I'm actually very honored that he posted my ASAC the Butterfly interview because I've heard of the group that he was in before and I knew of him before his name changed. So, formerly of the Fat Killers and formerly known as Shimmy Bango, I proudly introduce, who I have on the phone, Bane Belushi.
Yeah, your boy Bane Belushi. What up,
Lo? How you doing, sir? Happy New Year.
Man, I'm pretty good, man. This has been an amazing New Year, you know what I'm saying? Dropped an album, had another kid. It's been crazy, but yeah, it's been crazy. That's what I can say. It's been real crazy.
Well, congrats on the adventures of Bane and your bundle of joy, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. A lot of hard work went into both projects.
Yeah, you can definitely tell with one with the Adventures of Bane and Belushi. I was actually banging that album yesterday when I was running around.
Oh wow, that's dope. I appreciate that love, yeah.
Oh, no worries. I was even putting my homies onto that. I'm like, yo, you see this guy right here? You guys know the Fat Killers right here? I'm like, this guy was a part of the Fat Killers. But they ain't tuned in like how I'm tuned in.
Oh, okay.
So, but they do know of Shamey Bango because of your single with Obi Trice that we used to listen to back in 2001, I believe.
Yeah. Which joint? Because we had a couple joints.
It was like on a CD cover. Just give me a second. I actually have it in my phone.
Okay.
But while I'm looking for it too, why the name change, Bane?
It was more so of a rebirth. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it was called Get
the best
Back.
Best way I can put Sorry. It, like how the caterpillar, you know what I'm saying, transforms into the butterfly type thing. You just like, I needed something new. I've been at this for a very long time, you know, and at the level that I think I've reached as an artist and as a person, I just needed something new. I needed something new. And everybody that's around me, they know I love John Belushi, like, to the core. He's like, you know what I'm saying? He's like everything to me. Everyone that knows. I've been talking about Animal House for forever, and it was just the perfect metamorphosis to turn the game around for myself. And you can hear it. If you listen to old me and new me, who I like to call it, you see the difference. So it was just perfect. And it was just the perfect storm with Foul Mouth to make this a reality.
And for the people who don't know the single I mentioned, it's called Get Back with Obi Trice.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You went way back to Get Back. That was a while ago. Wow, that's great.
It's because I was born in 91, and so that Shady Aftermath era was really my death row. So when I heard all these guys, I literally, like, as a kid, I'm going back on the internet looking for these music, and, like, a couple of your songs ended up on my little MP3 that I had back in the day.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. That was a lovely time in my life. I can remember very little because I did so much. It was so much free liquor and free weed. I couldn't take it, but no, that was a beautiful time in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Especially being from Detroit and you know, riding at that shady wave. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that was a beautiful time.
And then for also too, there was I also had there was a single by you where there was, like, you made into a South Park cover. Oh, I forget what that was called, though, but I had that one, too, in my MP3.
Oh, yeah. You must be talking about the, because I was, like, the Black Cartman on
yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that one. Yeah, that was the Scream. We had Scream right here on the streets.
Yeah,
For a short time.
Was it Scream EP?
Yeah. You said what happened?
Was it called a Scream EP?
Yeah, I believe it was called a Scream EP. But I actually never really touched the streets. It was an idea that one of our guys put out. And I had a joint that Jake One did called Scream. And we kind of like leaked it. You know what I'm saying? And that's how the masses got a hold to that cover. Because it was supposed to come out, but we never actually put it out. It kind of leaked And yeah, that's how the Masters got to it. But yeah, Scream, that was a real dope record. This was before Jake One started messing with whoever he was messing with. I think G-Unit or something like that at the time. And I think he submitted some beats to Obi, and that beat got to me, and I did what I did to it. And we kind of like let the masses hear it, and people were falling in love with it. But yeah, that was a great time in my life.
So for the people, because like I said, I fell in love through Detroit hip-hop, because most people are like, oh, I found Detroit hip-hop through Eminem. Yes, I did find Detroit hip-hop through Eminem, but that didn't make me fall in love with it. What made me fall in love with it was the J Dilla song.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that's...
Yes, man.
That made me go dig, and I mean dig into Detroit. That made me find Frank and Dank. A T3.
Oh, yeah. They're my brothers.
I can go on and on. A Fat Killers. But for, or like a Marv One. But for the people who ain't tuned in to like Detroit hip hop, like how I'm very tuned into, can you explain to the people what the Fat Killers mean to Detroit, sir?
Man, I almost would want you to ask Detroit that question, because me being a Fat Killer, it's crazy. And being in that moment, being in that time frame, being in that group, you don't realize the impact you had on people until it's said and done. And so you kind of like at the end of the journey, and you look back and you see like grown people that were like, man, I was like 15 when the Killers came out, and you guys are like Run DMC to me, and this, that, and the third. It's overwhelming. It's a real overwhelming feeling, because we were just living our lives. We were all young at the time. Everything that we were living that, you know what I'm saying? We just full dope, fat MCs. Gordy Crazy. Marv is lyrically incredible. Fats is OG status. And myself is just like the wild, crazy guy that everybody has in their neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? That one dude that would do a little bit too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I was down a whole 40 ounce of beer in like 1 minute before your eyes. And, you know what I'm saying? That type of thing. And you just don't realize what you're doing until, you know what I'm saying, instead of done. But yeah, we were a movement. And to some people, still are. But yeah, that was just insane to come up under those guys. B12, J Dilla, Slum Village, and everybody mentions your name in the same breath as these people. It's amazing coming from Detroit.
And also, too, like, just for you to be a part of, like, a class, well, I call that album class, I guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Do you go back and listen to some of your old stuff?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. I think I was listening, the last joint I listened to on Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was maybe Do Something, with me, Marv, and Fats on it. That Killer album is crazy, because I remember what we went through making that, the countless McDoubles I ate. You know what I'm saying? The creation.
Those are fire, by the way.
The ready pizzas. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's insane. Because when I hear it, like when you hear it, you may go to your time period. When I hear us actually being in the studio where it's hot as hell, where I'm, you know what I'm saying? I gotta go walk to the liquor store to get some lick. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy. I just hear the making, what we went through to make that album, which is pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? Black Milk Doctor had the first single, Get Your Paper. You know what I'm saying? We shot a video. It's insane. It was just an insane time period for myself, for sure.
Oh, well, and then you can also, too, it's like what you say, when you go back and actually look at what you've done, like when it's all said and done, what you go back. With that being said, too, what inspired you to become a solo artist as opposed to being in a group with somebody else other than the Fat Killers?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. We were all solo artists before the Killers, so me being solo is not foreign. You know?
Oh, okay.
We were all like dope MCs within the city. And our big homie, God rest the dead, Chris Cobb, was like, yo, man, y'all should be like the Fat Boys 2000. And it went from there with him and Fats commandeering it. But yeah, me being a solo artist, yeah, I came up with Opie Trice. And we were like just two dope, you know what I'm saying, solo artists. So me being solo, yeah, that's nothing foreign to me. Nothing. It's just a little bit more work when you go into the studio and write your verses. But yeah, me being solo has always been that's always been my goal, is to break out and be something, you know.
Would you say, like, the first track that you ever appeared on, like, to, like, that got released to, like, a local, was Everybody's Trippin' by a DJ Butter?
Wow, you are pretty damn good. Yes, it was. And, it was an amazing day. I remember going to the east side of Detroit. I believe I was with the Gordy. And when we got there, OB was there, Proof was there, Dog Matty. And I can't remember who else was there. Peppin' Whip for sure. Yeah, it was just an amazing time just to go down in that booth and spit those two bars. Yeah, that was crazy. I remember that day. That's awesome.
Yeah, cause you'd be surprised on how far I can like go back and actually. But I enjoy that. I enjoy like going back and seeing the growth as an artist.
Yeah.
And also too, yeah, with because, like I said, Detroit's very special in my heart, too, for hip-hop. When it comes to The Adventures of Bane Belushi, is that would you consider that your debut project, like a debut album?
Yeah, for sure. I've done a lot of, like, solo. Hold on, Ryder is screaming in the back. Ryder, I'm doing an interview right now, okay? All right, now. Okay, I'm back.
All good. All good.
Yeah. Where do we leave off? I'm sorry?
About your Adventures of Bane Belushi album. Would you say that's your debut album?
Yes. I've done mixtapes. I did a mixtape with Obi. Appeared on countless mixtapes. I dropped a lot of EPs. Well, not a lot of EPs. Only dropped two EPs. One with Chains, The Bridge Card, and Help Yourself. A lot of EPs. This is the first full-length album, and I would say it's just a collective of my life in a whole, and a time capsule of the time period when of me creating that album. Like, a lot of stuff that you're hearing was my day. I think I'm ODB.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of have that flow, but you also bring your own. Like, it's like the two mashed up together. It's like a Bane and an ODB together.
Yeah, man. Like,
the thing that also...
Yeah,
ODB. Oh, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just about to pick up Old Dirty Bastard, man. One of the best who ever did it, man.
Oh, yes, sir. That's woo right there for the people who know, but they should know if they're listening to this podcast. Just wondering, yes, too, what grabs me to an artist album is the album cover, too. Because I'll give any artist a chance, but what would make me really roll up and listen to it is the album cover. Uh-huh. So, have you ever seen the movie A Crazy Nights with Adam Sandler?
Oh, God. Was it the animation?
Yeah, that's the one.
I know of it, but I don't think I've sat down and watched it.
Okay, so it's a very...
I know of it, though.
It's a very adult, like, cartoon, and that's what kind of made me think when I saw your album, but it made me... It's like a Detroit version with starring you, and when I listened to that album, like... When I listen to it, it's like, it's the Loud, or I Love Fast Food, or the Shooter, a joint of Ken Gordy and Guilty Simpson. That's actually fire. So I'm just wondering, what made you hook up with Middle Finger Music and doing a whole album produced by Foulmouth?
Oh, wow. This is very good. A short time, maybe around the time the Fat Killer hiatus, I kind of disappeared. You know, I kind of got bitter with the whole rap thing because I felt like, me personally, I should be far ahead where because I'd have been all around the world doing this music stuff. And I've always been a group member. I've always been a hype man. So it's just like, I've never been the front guy. So I was bitter. I'm going to keep it a full buck, but you know, I was very bitter about the game. So I didn't want nothing to do with hip-hop music at all. And I think one day I either got an email or a message on Instagram or something like, yo, my name's Foulmouth and I'm doing beats. And I knew his mans, was Pigpen, who's a very dope producer, was his man. And it was like, come over, check out some beats. So I went over there and checked out some beats. And I'm like, damn, Pigpen dope, but this foul mouth dude is horrible. Like, Jesus. This guy is trash. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get some beats from Pigpen, and I'm going to keep it pushing. So then, long story short, a month later, Foul Mouth hits me up and was like, yo, I got some more heat, come by. So this time I just come by, and he had some fire. And the first song I did, I believe, was Blowed Every Day. And after that, it just ballooned. It's just an amazing friendship that me and him have. And we knocked out this album. You know what I'm saying? Like, knocked it out. Like, carry a drink, smoke, and good times. You know what I'm saying? And creating this album.
So also too, I noticed there's minimum features on it too. What made you want to have minimum features on it and showcase most of your talent?
Man, because nowadays when I look at these hip hop artists, you don't know if it's their album or a mixtape. You know what I'm saying? Because you see feature. And I really wanted to cut, and I actually wanted to be less, but the songs were actually dope. So it was just like, I can't, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. And for the future, you'll see less features on my project because I want my projects to be my projects, and that's no disrespect to anybody that does that. But I just always felt that way. Like one or two, you know what I'm saying, is dope in my eyes, but to fill your project with features is cheating almost to me.
It's
cheating, you know what I'm saying? I'm not about cheating. I
want
to go ahead and
you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I thought I was the only one who thought like that.
But, yeah, I don't. But you always have a guilty Simpson verse, you know what I'm saying, on my albums. He's always been there to support me, you know what I'm saying? Even going back to the bridge car, we did the Al Bundy joint, and that shit was always fine whenever I worked for him. And, you know, me and him go way back, so... You always
get
one of them on the album for sure.
When you write to a beat, like what inspires you? Is it just like what you go through, or is it like what you think of, like what you want to write? Because artists are very different too.
Okay.
When they write.
Yeah, man. I don't know how other guys and other MCs do it. I can't write like at home. Like I know a lot of dudes that I know. I'll be like, yeah, send me something in a Dropbox or give me a CD and I'll go ride around. No, if we have a session, I write in that session in that moment because it's just a feeling that when you first hear the beat, you can never capture that moment when you first hear a beat. And that's the energy I always want to keep when I write is that first moment. So that's part of it for me. Second, depending on the song, what I'm talking about is usually going to end up being my acts of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I did that day. Smoke weed, drink, fuck the first verse was a day, was a night, was the night before. I think, and I just wrote it down. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah. And lyrically spit that. The first verse was, I think I'm ODB, was the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wrote it was what I'm basically nervous. The narrative was the day that I had, what I had on. I had some watermelon hirachis on, which I call a watermelon hirachis, colorful hirachis. So, yeah, it's just good. I'm a spun boom right there. I can't hold it. But then to me, it sounds stale. It's not the same.
Yeah. And no worries about the children. I understand. So they're gonna be a part of something great.
Yeah, I'm over here. Yeah, I got both for the babies, man.
Oh, it's all good. They're gonna be a part of something great. So when they're older, they could be like, "Wow, that was me on there."
Yeah, then they'll know, like, "Yeah, Ryder Daddy is for real, because he's Ryder right here. Daddy's right here." Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Okay, here it is. This is your binky. This is your binky, little baby.
So when I listen to your music, oh sorry, say that again, sir.
No, I'm still up to living on this, man. Even though I got all this crazy going on.
Oh, no, good, sir. No worries. So with With lyrics, too. You've been to Canada, too, I'm guessing.
I'm sorry, can you say that again, sir?
You've been to Canada, too, right?
Oh, what? I've been all over Canada, man.
Because I heard one of your lyrics that kind of fucked me up, so I had to go back. And when I heard you say Saskatoon bitches fucking back to back, I'm like, yo, I had to. I'm like, hold up. Let me go back.
Once again, a very true story. In Saskatoon on the bus. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Don't wanna incriminate myself or any parties that may be involved. But yeah, man, Saskatoon showed up for love out there, man. Yeah, I love Canada though.
When was the first time you say that you ever been overseas before?
Well, it had to be like 2003. This is around the time Moby Trice dropped the Chairs album. Was able to go across the pond over to Heathrow, walk through London and all that, man. That kind of changed the whole bang outlook on hip hop music. Because I could say around that period, around the time I was with the Killers and this and the third, I kind of wanted a mainstream look. You know what I'm saying? At first, but then going overseas kind of solidified how I truly felt about making pure, unadulterated hip-hop, grimy music, you know what I'm saying, because of the love that it received out there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it may be different now, you know what I'm saying, I don't know, they might have changed, really on a mainstream kick, but when I was out there, the mainstream, you know what I'm saying, it was mainstream, but it was dudes out there that was just like, it was just a whole mass of that really liked dirty hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like how it was intended to be. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciated that. And that's kind of like, because I always felt like, I always loved the grimy hip hop. Like, I'm a huge Wu-Tang fan. Oh, God. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just love that sound. And somewhere hip hop lost it, where they put those dudes in the back and pushed the shiny shit to the front. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
when I went out there, they was just really loving that grungy shit, and I was like, this is where I need to be at, you know?
Yeah, well, you can tell too with your music and everything, like when, like coming up. And for the people who never heard of a Bane Belushi before, which, you know, if you listen to hip hop and like a hip hop head, you should know his history. What are a few of your favorite joints that you've done that are out there so people can hear?
Oh, we gotta go straight to the album, The Adventures of Bane Belushi. Produced entirely by Foulmouth, Little Pink Music. I would say my favorite song on the album, if someone was like, yo, what? Drink, Smoke, Weed. Drink, Smoke, Weed, Fuck. Then I would give them the intro, for sure. Because the intro is almost like a breakdown of what's, you know what I'm saying, about to occur and what I'm about, where I've been, you know. And, for years, my God, because that's almost just like just to let everyone know, I've been doing this for years, you know what I'm saying, and I don't know where you've been, I've always been nice, you know what I'm saying, so for years is, yeah, most definitely, those joints right there. And then if I'm dropping hard copies, Little Finger Music, we're doing hard copies pretty soon, and it will be a bonus track on there. I'm not saying anything. This will be a bonus track on there for y'all to listen to. You know, so, yeah.
Would you do merch and everything for your album, too? Like, besides physical copies?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do all that. We're going to do CDs. Hopefully, we can get some T-shirts pressed up with the album cover. Because I just feel Mr. Cliff Notes, I got to shout him out. He took my idea and just took it to a whole another level, man, and I love that, and I love what he did with it. So, yeah, Mr. Cliff Notes, he did the cover, he killed it.
And you know what? I started. I hear a lot of interviews and a lot of people fanning out because when people say a certain name, that's why when it comes to like when I interview certain people, I try not to ask the most obvious questions because I want to make my show. It's true. I want to make my show unique. I want to make it like I don't want to come off like I'm just looking for clout or followers because like I notice like a lot of people they'll be asking like the most obvious questions all the time.
Yeah, no doubt.
With that being said, too, because like I didn't even want to start off like, yo, how'd you know Obie Trice or how'd you know Eminem? The main person who I actually want to know who you know is my man Guilty Simpson.
Oh, Guilty, oh man, that's very good. I'm gonna say like about 1999 or whatever. I just came out the county. I was in county jail. And one of the big homies in the neighborhood, was, you know, he seen me going down the wrong path or whatever, and he was like, yo, man, I know you got skills with this rapping, you need to stop doing what you're doing, and, he was like, I got a partner that has some money, he's willing to put some money in, and, make this rap stuff happen. I'm saying, shit, let's make it happen. So I go to the studio, he introduced me to his A&R. His A&R happens to be Hex Murder. Hex has a group called Almighty Dreadnoughts, and I think the first joint was a posse joint with the Dreadnoughts and myself, and that's how I met everyone. And from that day forward, it's been fam. You know what I'm saying? Straight family. Me, Hex, Dreadnoughts, Guilt, you know what I'm saying? Soup MC, you know, all my dogs, you know?
Yeah, because Guilty actually appeared on season 2, and he's a very humbled individual, so shout out to Guilty.
Hell yeah, shout out to Guilty.
And another, too, because like I said, I don't want to ask the obvious questions. Another person who I'm actually curious on how you met, too, is Aztec.
Oh, wow, yeah, I met Tech. Tech might be different. See, I'm notorious for being at events in the city, but I get so shit-faced. I don't remember nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I may, Tech might be like, yo, I'm gonna ask Tech this and he might give you a different answer. So I'm just giving you a heads up. So basically, I said that to say this, I may have met him before in the community, but I seriously remember meeting him at Foul Mouth. You know what I'm saying? And like, dope MC. Like, one of the dopest to come out of Detroit. Like, dead serious. Like, lyrically, effing monster. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And, just leading him through Foul Mouth from how I remember it. And we just been pretty fucking cool since. And I come back and listening to some of the joints that we've done that's been put out. There's a chemistry there. You know what I'm saying? Between him and I. And it's funny that we end up on the same label. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he's dope. That's my guy, Aztec.
All right. And then when I do my research on my guest, I always ask them because, like I said, anybody can read stuff on the internet. It's about hearing it from the person's mouth itself. Would you say your main influences were Run DMC, Tupac, Big, and N.W.A.?
Okay. Okay, that's another thing. I don't know, I think Wikipedia, I don't know where they got that from.
Yeah.
My brother called me the other day, too, was like, we never listened to N.W.A. You wrote for Pinky. I'm like, okay, so let me air this out. N.W.A., Tupac, love them to death, you know what I'm saying? Big respect. I grew up on Slick Rick, Big Daddy, Slick Rick, Notorious B.I.G. Redman is a god to me. Redman, you would say, he probably birthed Bang Belush. You know what I'm saying? Redman taught me how to roll a blunt. Feel me? Like, yeah, so, yeah, Big Pun. I can't forget about Pun. And Wu-Tang, man, my god. Old Dirty Bastard, man, for a long period of time. I'm going to tell you a quick story. When I first started rapping, my neighborhood, I went to high school with Bizarre. And when Bizarre got a hold of me, when I'm like 16 at the time, lyrically, I thought I was Raekwon. You know what I'm saying? So I rapped in all code. You know what I mean? You didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. But I was fucking dope. But yeah, Raekwon, like, oh God, was a big influence. in my life. So, yeah, I'm going to go Wu-Tang, Big, Redman, Slick Rick. You know what I'm saying? Hence is, you know what I'm saying? My album is called The Adventures of Bang Belushi because Slick Rick, The Adventures of Slick Rick, was the first hip-hop album I ever heard in my life.
Okay.
In its entirety. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
It's not a bad album to hear in its entirety.
Hell yeah.
And then also, with you being so, like, influenced by so much greats, too, who would you hope to work with in the future? Like, because I believe you can speak things into existence.
It's like everybody that I really want to, would work with and passed on. This is as it's sad to say. Like Sean P., man, I would love to get a joint with him. Dilla would love to get a beat. You know what I'm saying? Wow.
So a lot of the
That's
greats.
A very good question. That's a very good question. Yeah, it's a young guy out of New York named Bub Rock.
Okay.
I want to get a joint with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Cause, I'm really in my own cocoon when it comes to this hip hop. I stick to myself and my squad, but it's certain people out there, but yeah, Bub Rock probably the only one that's on my list right now that I'm like, yo, I need to get a joint with Bub, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. And with the middle, this is going to be a part of the Middle Finger Music Week, featuring interviews with Foul Mouth, Pat 313, and Bane Belushi.
Stop doing that.
I would like to say thank you very much for taking the time out your day. I got two more questions for you, and then I'll let you go, sir, because I understand you're a busy man.
Yeah, no doubt.
For everyone who wants to listen to a Bane Belushi, would you say that you want to put out a lot more visuals in the future?
Yes. I want to flood. Especially with this new day and age and music, with the music being so accessible, if I'm using the right term.
Yep.
I just feel like, yeah, at this day and age, with everyone being able to get to it, you gotta flood it, you know what I'm saying? You gotta flood the game with visuals or everything, even if it's not even music. If it's just you eating and talking shit, you know what I'm saying? They need to know, they need to feel a part of what you're doing. And the biggest thing with me, I'm not trying to be the guy that's put, like, when you see him, it's over. I'm in every neighborhood. Everyone knows the Bang Belushi in their neighborhood. I'm that guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm the guy that goes to work 9 to 5, busts ass with kids. When it's time to drink, he may have too much to drink. And you know what I'm saying? I'm that guy. Everyone knows Bang Belushi in their hood, and that's who I am. And that's why I want to relate to the everyday people. I'm not no super gangster, but I'm not a punk either. You know what I'm saying? I'm just an everyday man, you know?
Just an everyday person, like how everyone is.
That's what I want the people to get. Yeah, that's what I want people to get, man. I'm not like the guy with 100 chains on, and I don't got a brick under the bed. You know what I'm saying? I'm your everyday guy, man. I'm the average man.
That's actually leading up to my last question I asked all my guests. Do you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Oh man, faith. Your faith. Like, I'm not even gonna say I'm a super religious man, but you have to believe in something. You know what I'm saying? And whatever that is, whatever your God is, or whatever that higher being is. You gotta have faith and belief. You know what I'm saying? It never rains all the time. Like, it's never gloomy as hell every single day. It may rain for about 3 or 4 days, but that third or fourth day, you look outside, the sun up there. You know what I'm saying? So, I just don't be down on yourself. Like, you're human. You're gonna get down. But, you know what I'm saying? Shake it off and get out there and fight again. You know? That'll be my thing, because I've been through so many trials and tribulations in my situation, not that I'd never get out, but, you know what I'm saying, here I am with air in my lungs, and I got two beautiful daughters, you know what I'm saying, so, yeah, don't ever stay down, the rain ends at some point.
It's great to see, it's great to see that someone who did so much in his lifetime is such a humble person.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, shit, at the end of the day, we all people. You know what I'm saying? And all these acts, people putting on acts and all that front and shit like that, man. They ain't gonna get you nowhere in the long run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My number one saying, and I want to say it to you, Lo, I spread love to get love in return. You know what I'm saying? I'm not spreading out no hate, but you'll get that right back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
I always spread love to get that same love back, man.
Well, that's good to hear, sir. I'm glad there's people like me and you in this world, sir, because they ain't much of us.
Yeah, man. And, dude, do you drink, dude?
No, not anymore. Not since I met Kid Vicious.
Oh, God, you stopped.
Yeah,
oh,
I met Kid Vicious and Royce 5'9 smashed out of my mind, but that's part of the reason why I don't drink.
Well, that's for another episode. We have to talk.
Yeah. He was my first guest Kid Vicious was my first guest 2 years ago before I got into podcasting, and I met him, and it kind of fucks me up when I still think about it. It was destiny.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's my guy, though. Shout out to Vish.
Yeah, shout out to Kid Vicious, and he did a joint that didn't make the album. It made here later on, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy, yeah, Vicious, yeah, I got some shit in the truck, bro.
He good people. But like you said, I appreciate, because like I didn't know you did your name change until, like, you know, you threw my stuff up on your page. So I would like to say, with you being like a very major figure in hip hop in Detroit, I really appreciate that, sir.
No, no doubt, man. Not a problem, man. I appreciate you. I truly do.
Is there anything else that you like to plug in before I let you go, Bane Belushi?
Man, Adventures of Bane Belushi. Out right now on all platforms: Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Little Finger Music, Aztec the Barfly, Lion King is out right now. Lion King is out. You know what I'm saying? On all platforms. Shout out, follow him out. My best friend in this music thing. And we got a lot of surprises coming up in 2019. Shout out to the Killers, of course, Fat Killers. Shout out my city, Detroit. Shout out my beautiful daughter, Ryder. My youngest, Ryan, which I'm holding right now. He has to get burnt. She just drank a 40 ounce of milk. Yeah, man. Everything is love, man. And shout out to all the pot dealers around the world. And I'll be seeing you very soon. And yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
I was about to celebrate. I'm about to roll up after this interview. Thank you very much, Bane Belushi.
Yeah.
Salute to you and the fam.
Yes, thank you, sir. Appreciate that, man.
I appreciate you, sir. That's from another episode from The Desk of Low featuring Bane Belushi.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.